And welcome back. It's time now for our monthly soundbite segment produced in partnership with Sauce Magazine. This month's segment is about the abundance and growing popularity of Korean cuisine in the St. Louis area. Here's contributor Steve Potter.
Heather Hughes is managing editor of Sauce. Hi, Heather. Welcome.
Thank you.
In this month's issue, you profile 9 Korean restaurants. And I have to tell you, I'm really interested because honestly, I really have very little experience with Korean food. So I'm not familiar with any of the restaurants you've profiled.
None at all.
No.
Okay.
So for someone like me, what are the basics? What should I understand about Korean cuisine?
Well, we were talking about this in the office, and I would say you might think you're unfamiliar with Korean food, but you've probably had a lot of Korean flavors over the past few years. That's becoming more and more popular and in places where you wouldn't really expect. Like, you've probably seen kimchi at a lot of restaurants that aren't necessarily Korean.
I've tried that.
There you go. And we talked before about the fermented foods trend.
Mm-hmm.
Kimchi is fermented, and another Korean staple flavor is gochujang, which is like a fermented chili paste that a lot of people are using to spice foods where you wouldn't necessarily expect it. But I don't know. The classic that I always go for is a bibimbap bowl.
Wait, say that again.
Bibimbap. It's like a vegetable and meat rice bowl, which, again, is super popular, Korean or otherwise. It's a go-to dish these days. It's easy. It's delicious. And that's also flavored with gochujang often. That's where I would start.
Heather, you said I might be more familiar with the flavors than I think. Now, there are a lot of fusion restaurants, perhaps, we've tried, but that's not what you're looking at today.
No. We also talked about that when coming up with this piece. It was actually pitched by our author, Shannon Cawthron, and she had wanted to do a piece about Korean dishes that she thought everybody should know about. And then we were talking about in the office and thought, you know, everybody knows Seoul Taco, which is one of the fusion places. But I didn't realize, I just moved here a couple years ago, how many more traditional Korean restaurants there are in town. And we let the author pick some of her favorites, and she settled on 9, which was a shockingly high number to me. Again, I've been to Asian Kitchen, which is one she covered, and I've been to Seoul Taco. I mean, just try to get in line at Food Truck Friday. You know how popular it is.
Oh, yeah. One of the things the article also mentions, it goes into K-dramas.
Yeah, those are a little intro. I think she's a little obsessed with Korean culture in general. K-dramas and K-bop is really popular, too. What have you seen a K-drama before?
No.
Is that the interest? Okay. They apparently do a lot of scenes of food, like watching people eating in an indulgent way. It'll make you really hungry for Korean food.
I bet. Well, we're going to focus in just a little bit on 2 of the restaurants that are featured in Sauce this month. But first, let's briefly mention the others, and maybe you can just say something about them.
Sure.
What about Asian Kitchen in University City?
Asian Kitchen is great. They have a lot of classic Korean dishes, but I think the thing that stands out about Asian Kitchen, in my experience, is the banchan, which are little side dishes that come with meals almost like condiments. You can put them with anything you're eating or just eat them on their own. But at Asian Kitchen, you get more than at other places. I think they said around 15 dishes with each meal. And that's everything from like seaweed salad or pickled daikon. They do fresh foods like bean sprouts and then, of course, kimchi. All sorts of things, which is really fun.
There's the U-City Grill, which sounds like a place for burgers to me.
Yeah, well, it's a little diner. I think it used to be just a like breakfast place. But now they do wonderful bibimbap bowls. It's a tiny space, and the owner is really fun. You go in, and he won't even necessarily turn around to greet you, but he makes incredible food really fast on a flat top.
Out in Creve Coeur, there's Juju's restaurant and karaoke.
Yeah, they have little karaoke rooms in the back. I think that's half the appeal there. It's really fun. These are all pretty spread out, which is nice. There's a lot in Creve Coeur,
yeah.
Of course, on Olive.
What about Seoul Garden in St. Anne?
Seoul Garden in St. Anne is really nice. They have wood panels around all of the walls. You feel like you could be anywhere. It's really private and good feeling in there.
One of the restaurants that you profile is a food truck, K-Bop.
Yeah, that was one of our best new food trucks last summer. They do bowls where you get both glass noodles and rice, which I really like, and then normal bulgogi or spicy pork, tofu, things like that you can add on top.
Another restaurant you profiled is Yori in Chesterfield.
Yep. Yori is also a pretty new restaurant. Our writer called out the cheese kimchi stone bowl, which sounded really unusual to me, but apparently people eat it in Korea all the time.
And here representing the final two restaurants that are profiled in Sauce Magazine this month, please welcome Tae Kim. He's the manager at Oriental Spoon in Edwardsville, and Victor Jang, the co-owner of Wudan, a Korean barbecue in Creve-Coeur. Hi to both of you.
Nice to meet you.
Hello.
Well, tell us just a little bit about your business. Victor, if I could start with you. How long has your restaurant been around, and tell me how you got started?
It's been like an 8 month, and then I was actually working at the New York City, and I was a salesperson, like, you know, on area of like in St. Louis, Kansas City, like in Nebraska.
What
like
kind of business were you in? What were you selling?
Yeah, I was selling the beauty supply stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Uh-huh. And then I was like seeing this like in the St. Louis when I came here, and then I tried to like bunch of like Korean restaurant, and then they don't have like, you know, built-in grill, you know, Korean restaurant in here. So like in the very lack of Korean restaurants.
You saw a need here. And
yeah.
You just used to come here on business.
Mm-hmm.
But then you and your wife picked up and decided you'd open a business here.
I just picked it up and I told my wife, and then let's go there and then like let's start the business.
But she had a little experience, right? Her parents were in the business.
Yes,
right?
She is. Her parents work in the Korea for like in a restaurant owned 20 years. Mm-hmm. Still, yeah.
So they help you with the menu and all that sort of thing.
Yes, right. Yes, they did.
Okay. What about you, Tae? Tell me about Oriental Spoon.
Yes. It's been like 8 years. I started 2009 with my older sister. Mm-hmm. And I was in college at SIUE. And actually, before that, I finished my military degree in Korea. So when I was coming back to finish my degree, my sister asked me, hey, I want to go stay with you. So we had thing, but, you know, you have to make a job or something. So we had, well, let's open the restaurant because our parents are also in the restaurant business in Korea.
Right.
So, and then also I go to SIUE, so we saw the empty building. So we start here. And then there's another thing I decided to open the restaurant because I came here when I was in high school. There was not that many Korean restaurants. And then before, the Korean restaurant was always like expensive, and then it seems like more for the Korean people. So I was always guessing, why Korean food always have to be like special? We want to have like something simple and then casual for everybody. So that's why we decided to open the Oriental Spoon in Edwardsville.
Are there other Korean restaurants in Edwardsville?
No.
Heather, you talked a little bit about Korean food becoming more popular here. Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, you tell me, are all these other Korean restaurants that we mentioned here today, are you all very different, do you think? The way you do the food, the presentation, whatever?
Yes, we do have like in a combo menu, just like in our only restaurant, they have like combo menus. So also, we do have all you can eat, like in a, but we have a built-in grill, so like, you know, so we could present, and then like, you know, we have like different meat there, like, and I don't think they don't have like in a ribeye or yangnyeom galbi, or they do have LA galbi, which is a marinated one, but then those two is like really, you know, popular in New York City or in Seoul or in LA. So,
well, what are some of the great traditional dishes that you might recommend to someone like me that doesn't have a lot of experience with Korean food?
A lot of, like, you know, different nation people came to our restaurant, and then number one favorite is the yangnyeom galbi, which is like marinated beef. It's like bulgogi, but it's different part. The bulgogi is more like, you know, brisket or like, you know, that part, but then yangnyeom galbi is from the ribeye. So tastes really good and then really soft and tender. So that's number one, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tae, what are some of your favorites?
I mean, he's right. The galbi, the grill, the barbecue is really great. But if you're something more little light, like Heather said, you like the bibimbap, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, bibimbap is really the first thing I always tell them people. And also, as he mentioned, the bulgogi, which is marinated meat, but it's not. It's just stir fry with the vegetable, and it comes with the rice on the side. Mm-hmm. So then there's a lot of flavor you can pick, like spicy or not spicy, and the different meat. So if you have really have no idea, and if you're not brave enough to, you know, try something new, then stick with the bibimbap and bulgogi. And then there's a bibimbap, the Korean airline serve the bibimbap on the airplane because it's like really easy to try in the Korean food.
Yeah. Are you guys open to answer a lot of questions for people? Because, Heather, I would think if you're not familiar with Korean, you said be brave. Mm-hmm. People might be hesitant to try something they are just not familiar with.
Well, I think that's the part of the reason we want to do features like this. It's like you don't – it doesn't have to be so unusual. As when I go to a Korean restaurant, I said before, I don't know a ton about Korean food, but just don't be afraid of looking like an idiot. Ask all the questions you want. They're there to serve you food. Of course, they'll answer their questions.
Mm-hmm. So what should we need to know? Victor, I'll start with you. When we come to udon, Korean barbecue, what would you recommend a novice trying first?
For you, I recommend beef and pork combo.
And which is
like, you know, it contains yangnyeom galbi and LA galbi and ribeye and pork belly and pork jaw. Not many people know about the pork jaw, but it's really delicious and it's really famous in Korea, which is called the hangjeongsal. Then you should definitely try, and then that's where number one selling. So, and like second choice, I'll definitely pick marinated beef combos.
Marinated beef combo.
Marinated beef combos. Mm-hmm. People love it.
Mm-hmm. Tay?
Yes. Our best seller is the, like, mostly bulgogi, but especially spiced pork bulgogi is our most popular dish.
What exactly is that?
We marinate the pork loin in the sauce, house sauce we made, which is based on the gochujang she mentioned earlier. And then we cook with onion and green onion, and then we stir fry them in the pan, and then we put the white rice on the side, and then eat with that. And then also we create a lot of customer ask, do you have any soup kinds, like pho, like Vietnamese restaurant? So
did you say soup?
Yeah, soup. Yeah. Uh-huh. So we create we used our own bulgogi sauce, and then we made the soup. It's called bulgogi soup. So there's a lot of different flavors. So if you're a soup person, please come to try.
Udon do soup also?
Yes, we do have more than 15 soups.
More than 15?
Yes.
How different can they be?
There's a lot. Like based on the, like, you know, ox bone, based on, like, you know, pork, based on chickens. We do have everything. So, like, there's a lot of, like, different Korean traditional soups. So, which is famous is, like, kimchi jjigae, kimchi stew, I think. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, that one is, like, you know, very known for other peoples. And then soybean paste soup, which called, like, you know, Korean version of a miso soup.
Oh, yeah.
And also we do have sundubu, which is, like, you know, very soft tofu. And those, like, for example, the soybean paste and soft tofu soup, like, you know, once you order the barbecue, came out with this. And then our restaurant, so we have, like, you know, 8, like, side dishes. And
let me get to that in a second. So are there courses in Korean food? Like, would you have the soup first, or do you eat everything at the same time?
Usually the soup first, or, like, you know, depends on the people.
So if you ask me, like, traditional Korean culture, so basically you start with a large portion of the rice bowl and then banchans, which is side dish. Mm-hmm. Usually the banchan includes the soup and meat and kimchi and
Okay, let's talk a little bit about side dishes. Are they usually vegetable dishes or what?
Vegetables, fish cakes, and some meats. And the people, like, you know, first try on the Korean restaurant, and then they say, oh, we didn't order. And then they say, oh, it's come with this, because they're surprised, you know. And then once you order, like, you know, combos or something like that, and then pancakes and soups came with it. So I think it's a really great part.
Heather, do you have any sides that you particularly like?
Well, I honestly never know quite what I'm eating, and I try to ask questions. But I just love kimchi. I put it on everything. But I think that's the part of the fun of eating in a Korean restaurant is that experience of having all these things show up and you don't really know what you're going to get. It's not like you pick the individual sides that you want. It's just sort of what they've made or what's available that day. Mm-hmm. So it's always a bit of an adventure.
What about beverages? What kind of beverages go well with Korean food?
I recommend any beverage. But, like, you know, soju is, like, you know, one of the top selling alcohol, like, you know, Japanese sake, and we have a soju.
Pronounce it again?
Soju.
And it's like a sake?
Yeah, it's like a sake. Uh-huh. And then we have, like, a different flavor, like a peach, pomegranate, or, like, you know, citrons, peach. Uh-huh.
Tay, do you recommend anything?
Yeah, soju is very popular, so we're serving them too. And there's like a couple of Korean beers too, if you want to try. Every month I'm kind of changing the brand name because I cannot have all kinds all the time because our store is small. So now we carry the Obi. Uh-huh. That's a Korean oldest beer.
You say things change. Do you? Is it important to you to change your menu from time to time? Do you have a philosophy about that? Do you have a standard menu or do you like to come up with new things or what?
Yeah, we do have a standard menu. But then in the seasonal, like if there's like, you know, for example, it's summer came. So we added the cold noodle, which called the naengmyeon. And there's a mulnaengmyeon and bibimnaengmyeon, which is like based on water and based on gochujang, the sauce. So, and wintertime, obviously, they want the like hot soup. So in seasonals, like we had like couples.
You have the same kind of philosophy?
We have a standard menu too, but once, like one or twice a year, we add the new menus.
Well, I think I feel prepared to venture into Korean cuisine now after I've talked to you guys.
Good.
Heather, are there any observations you'd like to make?
No, I would just say give it a shot. Again, it's such a fun cuisine to try for the first time. You kind of, like I said, never know what banchan you're going to be served, which is great. And if you like things like Seoul Q or Seoul Taco, if you are obsessed with David Chang recipes or anything like that, it's worth going in and getting more traditional dishes at one of these restaurants.
Well, just a final word from you guys, then, if you don't mind. I imagine you meet a lot of people maybe that are there for the first time trying Korean food for the first time. So do you have a message for people to entice them into your place? Tae-in, I'll start with you.
First, when they say that their first time, I just told them, just ask any question. But usually I told them Korean food is nothing different than what you're eating it usually, because we still use soy sauce and then red pepper paste. So there's nothing to worry about. If you like Chinese food or any other Asian cuisine, you would like it.
If you like Chinese food, Korean's going to be okay. What about you, Victor?
If you're like the meat lovers and then...
Well, it's barbecue.
Yeah, it's right. Barbecue. So we use like, you know, like very high quality meat. So people really love like, you know, our marinated or just... There's some unmarinated one, but then like give them a try and give it a shot and then they love it.
I look forward to exploring this myself. Thank you all for being here so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Victor Jang, co-owner of Wudan Korean Barbecue in Creve-Coeur, and Tae Kim, manager of Oriental Spoon in Edwardsville, and Sauce Magazine managing editor Heather Hughes. This month's segment of Sound Bites addressed the growing number and popularity of Korean restaurants in the St. Louis area. Tomorrow in St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with Maureen Cavanaugh about her updated version of the book St. Louis Then and Now. It pairs archive and contemporary photographs to tell the story of St. Louis through its landmarks. We'll also talk with author Scott Turow about his new novel, Testimony. It centers on an investigation into the mass murder of gypsies following the Bosnian War. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh. Fantastic.